Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I'm very disappointed. I was hopeful that maybe Mr. Fiok would leave that new knife up here for me. Looks like a beaut. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus Christ makes a bold statement. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came to his disciples and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now I confess, brethren, I've had a tendency in the past, because I have read that verse many times, I've had a tendency to focus upon the beginning of that verse. Jesus Christ states that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on the earth. That's a real comfort to know our Lord and our Savior has all authority. We don't have to worry that Jesus Christ will ever confront a situation in which he'll have to wring his hands and say, "Oh no, I don't have the authority, the power to deal with this." Or we don't have to worry that he'll ever find himself in a situation where he'll say, "Oh, my jurisdiction ends here. I don't have authority over there." Like the marshal when he chases the outlaw to the river and says, "My jurisdiction ends here." That won't happen to Jesus Christ. That's a comfort. That's a good thing. But if we stop there, we miss something more that Jesus Christ tells us in this verse. And that's going to be the focus of our attention in this message today. If you'd like a title, I've simply called this split sermon, "Understanding the Authority of Jesus Christ." Our goal, our aim today, is going to be to increase our understanding of that very thing, Jesus Christ's authority. Well, I thought we would try something a little bit different today. I thought in order to tackle this, we might use a visual demonstration. Now, you know, we've seen teachers do that kind of thing. You may have seen this on TV, maybe an old episode of Perry Mason or Matlock in a courtroom, where they try to act out something, do a little role-playing. And that's what I'd like to do here. And actually, I have prevailed upon Mr. Brent Fiok to help me. So today, he'll be bringing not just one message, but in fact two. You're going to see him up here for both messages today, at least briefly. And what I've done, I have asked Mr. Fiok if he would assist me. He's graciously agreed. I'm going to call him forward in just a moment or two. He's going to join me up here on the stage. And I'm going to give him something. Again, we're trying to recreate what Jesus Christ describes in Matthew 28, verse 18. We encounter our first obstacle, though, because what was given to Jesus Christ? Authority. You know, authority is not really a very tangible or visible object. We can't go to the store and say, "Two quarts of authority, please," or "I'd like to buy 6 pounds of authority." No, authority is not like that. And for our visual demonstration, we need something that is, something that's going to be eye-catching, something that you can watch and see. And so we're going to use this little yellow plastic mug. Now, I would like to be able to tell Mr. Fiok that for this demonstration, I have spared no expense. Why, this mug is composed of the highest character, the highest quality polymer composition. It's just beyond description. But alas, George Washington said it first, "I cannot tell a lie." Actually, this came in a promotion inside a bag of dog food. Years ago, right after Sherry and I were married, we had a passel of puppies that we had to give away And so we bought dog food like it was going out of style. And so over the weeks, we acquired quite a few of these wonderful little mugs. And I'm just warning Chris Fiak, I'm just telling her that she's going to have the privilege of having this as an addition to her kitchen cupboard in the near future. And I'll tell you, Brent, Sherry was kind of happy when I told her this was going to be removed from her cupboard. So, Chris, you just remember, there's more where this came from. More where this came from. So if you play your cards right, whoo-hoo. Okay, before we get started, I'm just going to let you know as well, in order to maximize the benefit of this demonstration, I'm going to play the part of the sportscaster and kind of narrate and give the play-by-play coverage as we go through this visual demonstration. Okay, well, let's get started. Mr. Fiak, if you would be so kind as to come forward and join me here. Now see, Mr. Fiak is walking directly towards the stage. He is stepping up on the stage now, and he is opening his hand. He is extending it towards me. Look at his hand most closely. His fingers are open. They are closing around the mug. I am releasing the mug. We have a perfect handoff. No better pass in the NFL. Now Mr. Fiak is turning. He is departing from me. He is stepping down off the stage. But look, he's going to pause. He is turning. He is facing the congregation. He is raising that yellow mug high in his hand, and he is about to say in a loud voice,
"This yellow mug has been given to me."
Mr. Fiak, do you have prior experience in motion pictures or something like that? That was a perfect demonstration. Mr. Fiak, thank you very much. Absolutely. Well, the demonstration is over. And now I have to ask the telltale question to all of you. Now, do you all understand Jesus Christ's statement in Matthew 20:18 better? Is it clearer to you? Do you understand it better now? I don't see any hands. I don't see anyone jumping up and down. I see puzzled looks. Well, truth be told, if I was seated where you are, I'd be probably looking kind of puzzled too. And I'd probably think, Scott, what's the big deal? You made poor Mr. Fiak walk up here. You gave him this little yellow mug, and he went back. How is that supposed to help me understand anything about Jesus Christ's authority better? Well, fortunately, we've got play-by-play coverage. And so, right now, we're going to go back and review the play-by-play description. When Mr. Fiak stood over here and cried out in that loud voice, that yellow mug had been given to him, it was a true statement. That was accurate. And it's very similar to what Jesus Christ states in Matthew 28:18, where Jesus Christ says, "All authority has been given to me." Mr. Fiak said, "This yellow mug has been given to me." And remember, he held it up. We all saw it. Let's rewind a little bit further. Did you notice what was in his hand as he approached the lectern, as he stood here beside me and extended his hand towards me? Did you see what was in his hand? Nothing. His hand was open. His fingers were spread wide. They were ready to receive the yellow mug. Why is that important? He didn't have the mug when he walked up here. He didn't have it yet. I had the mug up here. I hadn't given it to him yet. If I had given him the mug before services, I would not have been able to give it to him now for all of you to witness. If he had already had the mug, I could not have given it to him. So at some point, before Mr. Fiox stood over here and made the statement that the yellow mug had been given to him, there was a time in the past when he didn't have it yet. Before I gave it to him, he did not have the mug. There's no mystery about that. That's just common sense. Now, I've stressed this a lot. Why? Let's overlay this on top of Jesus Christ's statement in Matthew 28. If all authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus Christ, then at some time prior to his making that statement, he did not have all that authority. You can't give somebody what he already has. If Mr. Fiok already had the yellow mug, I couldn't give it to him. I'm stressing this because if we're not careful, we can overlook this fact. If someone had come in and entered this room, a latecomer, right as Mr. Fiok stood over here and said, I've just been given this yellow mug, that person would know nothing about what had happened previously. If that person had not come to church early, if that person said, oh, Scott's speaking again, I hate it when Scott speaks. It's always so long and drawn out and boring. And then I thought, oh, well, I probably should go. It is the Sabbath. God says we're supposed to be there. And so he came in as a latecomer. But he didn't see anything that happened before. He didn't see Mr. Fiok walk up here. He didn't see me give him the mug. He just entered as Mr. Fiok stood right here and said, the yellow mug has been given to me. He wouldn't know anything that happened before. We have the same risk. If we just read Matthew 28:18 without recognizing the fact that in order for Jesus Christ to make the statement he did, someone, something, had to give that authority to Jesus Christ. Let's go back now and see the rest of the story. In our little presentation this morning, we have a very small cast of characters. There's just two of us, Mr. Fiok, myself, and we have a thing, a prop, the little yellow mug. In Matthew 28:18, also, there's a very small cast. There's Jesus Christ. There's a thing, authority, that was given to him. But there's another entity, another party, another person who's not named. I'll just refer to them as Jesus Christ. He's the recipient. He received authority. But the missing party is the giver. Someone, something who gave Jesus Christ this authority. Our question now is to be the Sherlock Holmes, the investigator here, and determine who gave Jesus Christ this authority. Up until now, you've just been sitting. Let's start exercising your fingers a little. Matthew 21, verse 23. Matthew 21, verse 23. Jesus Christ speaking here. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. And they said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Well, this is the same thing that we're trying to learn today. But Jesus answered them and said, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, saying, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So flat out, Jesus Christ here said, I'm not going to tell you the source of my authority. Well, let's investigate. Like I said, let's put on our sleuth cap here like Agatha Christie or Sherlock Holmes. Let's see. What's a possibility? Who could have given authority to Jesus Christ? Could it have come to him from any man? Is there any man who could have given it to him? I mean, the Bible speaks of a number of men who are pretty important. What about Abraham, the father of the faithful? He was the friend of God. What about Moses or Elijah? They both appeared with Christ in the Transfiguration. I mean, could it have somehow been someone like that? Well, let's turn back in Matthew to chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Jesus Christ is speaking here. And he says pointedly, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Right here, Jesus Christ says, when it comes to men, you're not going to find one better or greater than John the Baptist. Maybe somehow John the Baptist could have had something to do with giving this authority to Jesus Christ. Well, let's look over in the book of John. John 1. John 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 30. John 1, verses 26 through 30. John the Baptist here is speaking. He answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am unworthy to loosen. Right here, John states that he's unworthy to so much as loosen the sandal strap of the person he is describing. Continuing, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here, John clearly identifies Jesus Christ as the person of whom he was speaking previously there. What John has said here basically is, Jesus Christ is much greater than I am. He's up here, I'm down here. I'm not worthy to so much as fit him for a new pair of sandals. Does that sound like the description of someone who could have somehow given Jesus Christ all authority? Clearly not, brethren. No human being could have possibly been able to deliver such authority to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, John's the pick of the litter. Maybe the pick of the litter like our puppies that we were dealing with earlier. He's the pick of the litter, the cream of the crop, when it comes to men born of men, born of women. I've met a lot of men in my lifetime. I've never known any who didn't have a mother. Jesus said, John's the top. John said, no way. I'm not worthy to so much as loosen his sandal strap. Okay, well clearly, his authority could not have originated from any man. Well, who's left? If it's not a man, let's look at the spirit realm. Could it somehow have been Satan? Luke 4. We're going to read verses, start reading in verse 5. Luke 4. Starting in verse 5. This is the temptation of Jesus Christ. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you. Wow, that sounds like exactly what we're talking about, isn't it? All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Continuing, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There's a lot in these few verses here. Notice, how did Jesus Christ respond to Satan's offer? When Satan said, I can give you this. I'll do that. Did Jesus Christ say, Satan, you're a liar. You're the father of the lie. You're lying. You can't give me this authority. That is not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ instead answered him with scripture saying, No, I will not worship you. That's wrong. He did not refute Satan's claim. For once, Satan was telling the truth. He did have authority to give things on this earth to whomever he chose. He had that authority. Christ did not dispute that. But notice what else did Satan say right after he promised Christ. He said, I can give this to you. Back in verse 6, he said, I will give you this, for this has been delivered to me. Someone, something else had given this authority to Satan. Because he said, I do with it as I please. It's been delivered to me. It's mine. Mr. Fiat has that nice little yellow mug now. It's his. He can keep it. He can do whatever he wants with it. He could give it to one of you if you played your cards right. Point is, Satan had been given authority. Was it unlimited authority? Job 1. You all know the story of Job. We're not going to read the whole thing, but in Job 1, you'll recall Satan was in an argument with God. He said, I think I can make Job sin. He said, you built this little fort around him. If you let me get to him, then he'll curse you. So what did God say to Job in chapter 1, verse 12? The Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. And so what happened then? Well, Satan destroyed all Job's wealth, killed his children. Job didn't sin. In chapter 2, Satan went back before God again and he said, Well, if you'd have let me get at him and touch his person, then things would be different. And so what happened in verse 6? The Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. And you know what happened? All these terrible boils and things fell upon Job. He sat in the ashes. He scraped his sores with pottery shards. Still did not sin, though. In both of those verses, though, God said to Job, You can go exactly this far, but no further. Clearly, Satan the devil's authority was limited. It was limited. By whom? By God. He said, This is as far as you go. No further. Well, brethren, if you haven't guessed, there is only one true possibility as the source for the authority given to Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. Now we're going to go back to John. We're going to take a whirlwind tour through a number of verses, and we're going to hear directly from Jesus Christ words that will address this question. John 14, we're going to read verse 10. Jesus speaking, Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Here Jesus Christ plainly states that he does not speak based on his own authority. But what happened immediately after that? He immediately pointed to his Father as dwelling in him. John 17, verse 1, starting in the middle of the verse. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Christ states plainly that his Father gave him authority over all flesh. Verse 4, Jesus states, I have glorified you, Father, on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Work was given to Jesus Christ by his Father. His Father is the one giving him direction, giving him instruction. Who directs our labors on this earth? At work? On the job? It's the boss. The boss tells us. Here, Jesus Christ refers to his Father in a similar capacity. John 5, verse 22. I was going to tell you this was going to be a blitzkrieg tour through John, but I thought that didn't sound very godly. So we'll call it a whirlwind tour through John. John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. God the Father committed all judgment to Jesus. That sounds a lot to me like granting authority. Continuing, verses 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. God has given Jesus Christ the authority to execute judgment. Dropping down to verse 30, Jesus states, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ was not seeking to do his own will, his own desire. He sought instead to do the will of the Father. He was seeking to do the will of his Father. But did you notice the last words? The Father who sent me. John 10. Hold that thought. John 10, verse 5. John 10, verse 5. Jesus says, I'm sorry, brethren. John 13, verse 16. Pardon me. John 13, verse 16. Hope you're still holding that last thought because you're going to need it. John 13, verse 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. He started the statement by saying, most assuredly. For certain, for sure, he says, somebody who is sent is not greater than he who sent him. Jesus Christ said his Father sent him, and right here he makes it plain, the one who sent him is the greater. Now over in John 14, verse 28, John 14, verse 28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Jesus Christ makes that very plain. His Father sent him. He took his orders from his Father. The Father was greater. John 12, starting in verse 44. John 12, verse 44. Here Jesus Christ pulls together all these last thoughts that we have just been reviewing together in John. John 12, verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say, what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Let's summarize. Jesus Christ has clearly stated, His authority was given to Him by His Father. The words He spoke were given to Him by His Father. He stated His Father was greater than He was. And finally, He sought not to do His own will, but instead the will of His Father. We all know that the very night before Jesus Christ was crucified, when He was praying so fervently in the garden, He said, Father, please take this cup from away from before me. He said, but not my will, your will. Clearly, Jesus Christ always submitted to the will of His Father. Jesus always made it plain that He took His directions, He received His power from His Father. Jesus Christ has made possible our salvation. He has set us the perfect example. We can never praise Him enough. We can never thank Him enough for all that He does for us. He set us the perfect example. Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 5 through 11. Paul has some powerful words here for us. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice the last part. To the glory of God the Father. Where does the glory go? Where does the ultimate glory go? From everything that Jesus Christ has done? It goes to God the Father. The one who sent him. The one who gave him instructions and directions. The one who gave him authority. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 24 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15. More words from the Apostle Paul. In this passage, there are about 14, according to my count, pronouns. He, him, his. Most of them refer to Jesus Christ. Some refer to his Father. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. When he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. We're told here that at the end, Jesus Christ is going to deliver the kingdom to God the Father. We're told that the Son himself will be also subject to God the Father. I'm going to read that passage again, only this time I'm going to replace those pronouns, those he's, those him's, with the names to which they refer. Then comes the end when Jesus Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When Jesus Christ puts an end to all rule and authority and power. for Jesus Christ must reign till Jesus has put all enemies under Jesus' own feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God the Father has put all things under Jesus Christ's feet. But when God the Father says, all things are put under Jesus Christ, it is evident that God the Father, who put all things under Jesus, is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to Jesus, then the Son himself will also be subject to God the Father, who put all things under Jesus Christ, that God the Father may be all in all. The Son himself will be subject to his Father. Brethren, the statement that Jesus Christ will present the kingdom to his Father that we have just read here, I had not really considered this prior to preparing this message. I believe this is the last direct action attributable to Jesus Christ that is recorded in the Bible. He says, when everything is complete, that's what Jesus is doing. He's bringing many sons to glory. But when it's all complete, when it's all tied up with neat ribbons and bows, what will happen with the kingdom? Is Jesus going to set this on his trophy shelf? Say, oh, there's the trophy when I defeated Satan. And here's the trophy when I died for everyone's sins. And here's the kingdom. I'll set it right there too. Is that what's going to happen? No. Paul says clearly, Jesus Christ will present that completed kingdom to God the Father. God the Father. We began today with the goal of increasing our understanding of the authority of Jesus Christ. We spent a lot of time today discussing its source. Who gave the authority to Jesus Christ? The source is no less than the greatest source of power and authority in all the universe, in heaven, on earth, everywhere. It is the very God whom we worship, the God to which we pray, the God before whom we kneel. It's God the Father, brethren. Never, ever allow us to forget that. Jesus Christ always pointed us to his Father. May we always praise his great name and tremble at his word.